continuing in this series of who we are in Christ. And we've talked about who we were created to be and who we are because of what Jesus did. Okay, and today, a little bit different tangent, but same topic. But we cannot fully appreciate who we are in Christ until we take a look at who we were. You know, you got to have a reference point. Excuse me. Would somebody bring me a bottle of water? It seems like I'm dry. Appreciate it. We can't fully appreciate who we are in Christ till we take a look at who we were before Christ changed our lives. And even though we were created in God's image and our sin kept us from being able to relate to God or the creation or one another for that matter, through our death, through our sin, death, and pain, suffering entered the creation. You know, when sin came into the world, death came. Thank you. And suffering and all the things. I had someone ask me the other day, you know, why is there suffering? Why is bad stuff going on? That kind of thing. And it's because of sin. It's because, you know, God had never intended it. Yet we sinned, and that caused pain and suffering and evil and everything else that we have to deal with today to come into the world, and we've been dealing with it ever since. Because of God's mercy, we were allowed to live. You know, I often wonder, I won't say often wonder, I sometimes wonder, when Adam and Eve fell, why didn't he just start over right then? You know, why didn't he just start over right then? And I don't know the answer to that, other than God is sovereign, and he knew they were going to sin, and he knew that Jesus, you know, God himself was going to have to come to earth in the form of a baby and grow up and live a perfect life and die for our sin. He knew all that. But me and my logic, it's like, wow, you only had two people messed up. Why not? It's so much easier, you know? And yet God, in his mercy, allowed us to live, allowed Adam and Eve to live and to have children and those children to have children and so on until we have the 6 billion or whatever it is we have here on the earth at this time. But we were allowed to live, but our lives were at best limited. At best. Often our lives are twisted, perverted, and empty before Christ. Today we're going to examine who we were without Christ versus who we are now because of Christ. We're going to look at the fact that God had the only solution to mankind's problems. And we will see all he did through Christ to change us and reconcile us to himself and one another. And so, you know, you have to have a reference point. You know, it's like, how do you know when things are good? Well, because you know when things are bad. Without the reference point, you don't know where you are. And so that's why today we're going to look at who we are. And you see in your outlines, you see two columns. And because of sin, we are certain things. But because of Jesus, now we are certain other things, which is the good news. So I don't want this to be a downer. This is an uplifting service, I hope. We can look at where we were and praise the Lord for where we are. Amen. Okay, and so that's the point of this. It's to give us a reference point. So first of all, because of sin, I was broken. I was broken. What then? Are we any better? Not at all. For we have previously charged that both Jews and Gentiles are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, no, not one. That means no one, folks. And, you know, and I remember, you know, when I was younger, I thought I was pretty good. You know, because why? Because I was comparing myself to some people that were really bad. But one day I read these words. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that does good, none that seeks after God. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. All alike have become useless. You know, I never thought I was useless. But according to God, I was before I had Jesus. And there is no one who does good, not even one. You know, the Bible is what gives us true perspective on who we were. There, he continues, you know, none of this is good news. Their throat is an open grave. They deceive with their tongues. Viper's venom is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. You know, and I look back at how I used to talk. I look back at some of the things I've said and done. And have I cursed? Yes, I have. And was I bitter towards people? Yeah, I was. I you know, what we were, when you're a slave to sin, when you don't have Christ in your life, we are all these things. Ruin and wretchedness are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You know, I have to admit, you know, I fear God now, but before, and I'm not saying before I didn't fear God in that sense. I mean, I knew there was a God, but I really never thought he was going to do anything to me. I had no fear. I did what I wanted, acted the way I wanted to, sometimes was better than others, but sometimes was downright wrong. But I wasn't afraid that God was going to do anything. But now, it's different. I'll think about something. I'll go, wow, you know, if I was to do that, God would never let me off the hook. You know, I mean, he would expose it. There'd be a price to pay. I'm not going to get away with it. And I'd like to say I'm a better person than that. But, you know, really, the Bible tells us, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Okay, that's in Proverbs somewhere. But by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And it's true. The only reason we don't speed, or I mean, all of us probably speed, but the only reason you don't do 100 is because you're a little scared of what might happen. You might not, and I don't even think about a wreck. I think about just getting pulled over and having to go to jail. You know, for doing 100, you probably would go to jail. I don't know. And so what keeps me that? It's the fear that I'm going to be caught. It's the fear that I'm going to be dealt with. And it's the same with God. You know, it's by, man, I know he's not going to let me. He loves me too much to let me get away with it. He's going to teach me a lesson and make me more like Jesus through it. And so the Bible also says the wise look ahead and avoid the evil. And that's what we need to do. We need to look ahead and realize if I participate in this, he's going to deal with me. That's the bad news. I was broken. But because of Christ, yeah, I was all those things. But because of Christ, I am righteous. Amen. I am righteous. So then, as through one trespass, there is condemnation for everyone. What was that one trespass? Adam's sin. When Adam sinned, something happened within him. His spirit died, and he passed that on to his children, to their children, and it went all the way through to us. So through one man, through one trespass, there is condemnation for everyone. And so also, and here's the good news, through one righteous act, what was that? Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sin and mine. And raising from the dead. Through that act, there is life-giving justification for everyone. Justification, being declared not guilty. That's what that means. Not guilty. And it's life-giving. Why? Because before we were justified, we were dead. We were already dead in our sins and trespasses. And we'll see that a little bit later. For just as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so also through the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He made you righteous. He declared you righteous. Now, are we righteous as Jesus is righteous? No, we fall short. But we are declared righteous. We are forgiven. The Bible says we're picked up out of the miry clay and set upon a rock. A firm foundation, which is only our Lord Jesus Christ. That is good news, folks. Because of sin, I was broken. But because of Jesus, I'm righteous. I'm righteous. Secondly, because of sin, hello, I was a sinner. That's that's like a duh statement, but I was a sinner. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us can approach God as a sinner. I was a sinner. But because of Jesus, I am dead to sin. I am dead to sin. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that sin's dominion over the body may be abolished, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is freed from sin's claims. Listen, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, your old self was crucified with Him. Your spirit came alive. It says, in order what? That sin's dominion over the body would be abolished. Yes, we were all slaves to sin. Bible tells us that. But Jesus said, you know, who the Son sets free is free indeed. You are free from your sin. Now we make a choice. Before we had to. We were a slave to sin. There was no way out. But once Jesus saved us, we were freed from that. And now we have the ability to choose. It is a decision we make. And we have the power within us. The Holy Spirit is within us. His power is the power by which we can choose to do right. We can choose to serve God. We can choose to submit to His Word. We can choose to obey the principles that are in here, that are in here for our benefit, not to hurt us or cause us to miss out on anything, but for our benefit. We can choose to do that now. We are no longer a slave to sin. We are freed from sin's claim. Man, what a great truth that is. Because of sin, I was a sinner, but because of Jesus, I'm dead to sin. Because of sin, I was not living by God's Word. I was not living by God's Word. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your worldly nature. Notice we are called to put it to death. You know you still have a sin nature, right? You know it's still in there. Yeah, we're saved and our spirit comes alive and now we have this war between the flesh and the spirit. Flesh wants to do the things of the flesh, the things carnal things. Spirit wants to do godly things. And we have this battle. So therefore, the Bible tells us we put to death what belongs to the worldly nature. What is that? Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, greed. I like this little parentheses here, which is idolatry. Isn't that interesting? Remember what Jesus compared? He says, you know, who is battling for your allegiance, God or mammon or money? That's the one example Christ picked out of all the things that can draw us in all these different directions. He says, you know what? You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve your money. And greed, which is idolatry. God looks at that as idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath comes on the disobedient. And here's the kicker. And you and me once walked in these things. Walked when you were living in them. That was our lifestyle. That was who we were. We all did these things to one degree or another. Some of us in one area, some of us in another. But we were all in there. We were not living by God's Word. But because of Christ, I am fulfilling God's Word. Wow. I'm fulfilling God's Word. Do not owe anyone or anyone anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Think about that. Just love. Love people. Love God. You fulfill the law. The commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not covet. And whatever other commandment, all are summed up by this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. We can fulfill God's word. Look at this. Pharisees were trying to trap Jesus, so they asked him a question. He said, "Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest?" And he said to him, "Love the Lord God, your God, with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. And the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." And then he makes a very interesting statement here. "All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands." Now, what's the law and the prophets? Back in when Jesus was teaching, they had the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament. You had the law of Moses, you had the prophets. And he says, what he's basically saying is the Bible, what they had at that time, this whole Bible hangs on these two commands. Love the Lord and love people as you would yourself. And if you do that, you fulfill the law. What an amazing statement. He takes this whole Bible, mine's like 2,000 pages, and he writes it in a couple of verses. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do that, you fulfill the law and the prophets. Think about the Ten Commandments. What are they really? Exactly that. The first four. It's talking about worship only God. Don't make idols. You know, all those things. It's all about relating to God. And then the rest of them is about relating to one another. Don't steal. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't lie. Don't covet. You know, that those are the things we do with one another. You have the vertical and you have the horizontal. Right there in the Ten Commandments. And he says, you know what? If you love God like you should and you love people like you should, you've done it. Because when you love somebody, you don't steal from them. You don't lie to them. If you really love the Lord, you're not going to have another idol. Just be God. What an amazing truth. What an amazing truth. When you love, you fulfill God's word. Next. Because of sin, I was living for myself. I was living for myself. We too, all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and we were by our nature, children under wrath, as the others were also. You know, it says it in Judges, in another place it says everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That's what this is. Before we had Jesus, we just did what we thought was right. What our sense of right and wrong was. And there was a lot of things I thought was okay that after I got to know the Lord and got to know His Word, I found out they weren't okay. You know, I thought it was okay to get even. You know, I don't get mad, I just get even. Well, in my case, I get mad and even. And even try to get ahead a little, you know? That's not what Jesus said. He said, you forgive. And you don't take vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He'll take care of it. You know, I had to learn all this. But we were by nature children under wrath. Our nature, we were condemned already. We were born condemned. And if it wasn't for the grace and mercy of our Lord, that's where we'd be. We'd die condemned. So I was living for myself, my fleshly desires, all my inclinations. It, you know, if we would sit down, I wonder how many inclinations we have every day. I feel like doing this. Man. You know, when I do a study like this, I realize just how much of a mess I am. You know? I'm a mess. Praise the Lord, though. Because of Christ, I'm living for God. I'm not living for myself anymore. I'm living for God. For we are His creation. And here's that phrase again. Created in Christ Jesus. In Christ. For what? Good works. We are created in Him for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. Do you realize that God had a plan for you? There are things that you are supposed to do in His name. And don't, you know, go off thinking, okay, I'm not going to go to Kenya or Peru or, you know, wherever. It could be talking about that, but you know what? Are you a husband? Are you a wife? Are you a parent? Are you the son of someone? There's good works regarding the position that you're in right now that you are to be walking in. Prepared ahead of time. You know, if you're on the job, you should be a good employee. If you're an employer, you should be a good employer, treating your employees as God would have you do it. We are created for good works, which God prepared ahead of time. And so sometimes we start thinking about all this big stuff and like, wow, I can never do that. And God is saying, where are you at? Right where you're at. You know, right where you are right now. Are you working for Him? Are you walking in His Word? Because you were prepared from that ahead of time. Ahead of time. What an amazing truth. You know, when you're living for God, it could be something as simple as just teaching your kids to pray. You know? Treating your neighbor the way you ought to. Being kind. That's living for God. Right where you're at. Right where you're living right now. Right in the job you have right now. Right in the family that you're in right now. That's where you serve. You serve. And you were created for this. And you walk. And that walk, it's talking about your lifestyle. It's talking about what you're doing day by day. Each and every day. And we can do that. We have that power. Christ has forgiven us. We're forgiven. And we have the power within us to live this way. What an amazing thing. Don't live for myself anymore. I live for God. I want to please Him. Because of sin, I was worshiping my way. I was worshiping my way. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served something created instead of the Creator who is praised forever. Amen. You know, when you worship something else, you're exchanging the truth of God for a lie. We worship and serve something created. And you know, and you say, well, I never bowed down to anything. Well, that may be true. You may not have bowed down to it literally, but I know one thing. For a long time in my life, I was just working for the dollar. You know, and I spent all my time and energy doing that, trying to get ahead to what I thought would be a good life or the things I ought to have. And that's part of how I came to a place where God could save me was over a period of time, I achieved all the things I thought I needed to be fulfilled and to be happy. You know, if I get the right job or the right car or get a house or get a wife, the right woman or whatever, then it's all going to be good. And I got all those things, and I was still empty. And God had to bring me all the way down to where the only way I could look was up. and realize that He was the greatest need in my life, and He was the only one that could fulfill me. And then when you get that, then it changes the way you look at the things you have, your home, your car, your family, your money, all those things change. It's an amazing thing. Because we may not think we worship it, but you know, I spent, there was a number of years there, I worked two jobs, and one of the jobs I'd work all the overtime I could get, all to get what I thought was ahead. And I spent all my time doing that and spent no time with the Lord at all. So who was I really worshiping? When I look back on it, I was worshiping my job, worshiping the money I make to get the things I want. And that was what I was all about. But boy, when you get a hold of that truth, then you begin to glorify God. Because of sin, I was just worshiping my way, but because of Jesus, I am glorifying God. I am doing that. I give Him the praise and the glory. You know, my way was the way that brought me to the place where I was. Doing things my way brought me to that place where finally God broke me. But when you start doing things God's way, you begin to glorify God. So that we who had already put our hope in the Messiah might bring praise to His glory. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed in Him, you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. In other words, Holy Spirit comes inside you and seals you and keeps you, and He's going to keep you all the way to the day that you meet the Lord, and you'll be sealed. You're there. You're one of His. And you don't ever lose that. He is the down payment of our inheritance. You know, you say, heaven's to come. Well, you know, part of heaven is right here within you. The down payment. The Holy Spirit comes to bear witness to you, to tell you, hey, that you've got me now within you, but there's going to be more later. It's the down payment. Because we still got to live through this life. And God's got a job for us to do. But He is the down payment of our inheritance for the redemption of the possession to the praise of His glory. There is, we praise Him, we glorify Him. He is worthy of our praise. Whatever you eat, drink, whatever you do, do all the glory of God. It all glorifies God. Another verse. God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth.
Amen.
You know, I was worshiping my way. But then when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit moves in, it opens a whole other avenue to go down. And you realize the only way you could have really worshiped God was in spirit and truth. And my spirit was dead before I had Jesus. So I could not worship God. And truth? Well, truth was just a convenient thing once in a while. You know, sometimes I'd operate in truth and sometimes I'd operate in deception and lies. But that's because of sin. But because of Christ, my spirit comes alive. And now I can worship Him in spirit based on truth, in truth. When you're obeying the Word of God, that's in a sense worshiping Him in truth.
Amen.
And that's how we do it. Because of sin, I was worshiping my way. Because of Jesus, I can glorify God and truly worship Him in spirit and in truth. Because of sin, I was incomplete. I was incomplete. Since the law has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the actual form of those realities, it can never perfect the worshipers by the same sacrifices they continually offer year after year. What does that mean? Well, in the law, in order to have peace with God, they had to do sacrifices. And then one time a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and make the sacrifice for the sins of the nation, basically to appease God. And God would honor that sacrifice, but they had to do it every year. And that was only a shadow of the good things to come. The law, all the things that made up the law, that was just a shadow of the good things to come. What was the good things to come? Well, Jesus Christ was coming, and we weren't going to have to do all those sacrifices anymore. Not the actual form of those realities. It can never perfect the worshipers by those sacrifices that they gave year after year after year. But man, now we are complete. We are complete. We're not partial. You know, God saves the whole package. He says what? For by one offering, He has perfected forever those who are sanctified. Now, who are those that are sanctified? Those that have accepted Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. By the one offering. What was that one offering? Jesus Christ. The sacrificial Lamb of God. The whole Old Testament law with all those sacrifices and the rituals and all that, it was pointing to Jesus Christ coming. The reason it was in there was so they would recognize Christ when He came. And instead, the Pharisees were just all caught up in their way of doing things. And when Christ came, they didn't see Him as the one that was fulfilling the law. They saw Him as a threat to their lifestyle and to the way, you know, they had everything set up. And so they wanted to kill Him. And they did. But in doing so, they released the power to save, His sacrifice. They set it up and they thought they were going to preserve their way of life. And instead, it opened up real life for everyone that believes. By one offering, He perfected forever. Perfected, completed, matured. Those who are sanctified. And so we are complete. You're not going to get any more of God than you got right now. You know, I know some people say, well, you know, I need to be filled every day. Well, that filling is not the amount of, listen, there's the Holy Spirit isn't like, you don't have like 10% of Him one day. And then 80% of Him another day. You know, oh, this is a really good day. I feel like I got about 90% here. No. He's there. That word filling literally means controlled. Be filled with the Spirit. It really means be controlled by the Spirit. Do the things that the Spirit would do. When we allow the Spirit to work in us, when we're totally filled, we're going to behave differently. You know, the word spirit, you know, what do they call alcohol? Spirits, don't they? And I'll admit it, I have been under the influence. And you know what I did in those times? I did things I normally wouldn't do. Because I was being controlled by something else. And they weren't good things. But you know what? When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you also do things you wouldn't normally do. You'll love people that are unlovable. You'll forgive people, whether they ask for it or not. You know, you'll serve with just a willing spirit and heart. Yeah, you'll do things that you wouldn't normally do also, but it is things of God, things that will line up with His Word. Question is, which spirit's controlling you? Which one are you allowing? And that's why we need to pray every day, fill me with Your Spirit, Lord. In other words, today, Lord, control me. Make my path very clear to me. How I should behave, what I should say, what I do. Are we filled with the Spirit? We can be. It's available. Before Jesus, you couldn't be. You would just be incomplete. But because of Jesus, we're complete. And we have the Spirit that can give us the power to please God, to do the things that He would have us do. Whether that's our nature or not. Wow. Lastly, because of sin, I was dead. because of sin I was dead. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Our spirit was dead. We were born with a dead spirit. We could not help but sin. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. If you want proof of that, anybody that's dealt with small children, they're selfish. They want things their way. And if they don't get it, they'll throw a fit. Where'd that come from? Did you teach them that? Did you teach them to lie to you when you called them on the carpet? You know, you got three kids. I had three boys. Who did this? They all point at one another. You know? Who did that? I didn't teach them to do that. It just comes from within. We're all born dead in our trespasses and sins. And we walk according to the ways of the world. That's what we do. We grow up. We do those things. Same things. But the good news is, because of Jesus, I am alive. I am alive. And when you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive with Him and forgave us all our trespasses. All of them. Every one of them. Listen, last week I hadn't even intended to ask, but I mentioned guilt. And you know what? I had more people raise their hands for that. That they're living with guilt. They have some kind of guilt going on. And I'm going to pause here a moment because, listen, He forgave us all our trespasses. And I'm here to tell you today, guilt is a tool of Satan. He's trying to rob you of the peace that you should have because of Christ Jesus. Amen. Now you gotta make things right. In other words, if you have wronged somebody, you need to ask for forgiveness. And if it entails making something right, then yeah, you need to do that. But God has forgiven you, and don't allow Satan to keep bringing up your past. You deal with it and move on. You learn from it and move on. And you don't allow Satan to cripple you. And some people are crippled by their past. They never get past it. And God can't use you. That is a tool of Satan to keep you from God, from having a close relationship, for Him using you in some way in this world to impact this world for Jesus Christ. Do not let sin, do not let your past sin be held over your head by Satan, causing guilt. You know, when he accuses me and he accuses me often, oh, look at you. You stand in front of people and say all this stuff and you're dirty as dirty can be. Yes, I am, Satan. I sure am. That is truth, but God has forgiven me and He's using me.
Amen.
So get out of here. Well, I did, I think. You know, listen, Satan can put thoughts in your head. Now, he's not omniscient. Okay? He's not all-knowing. And he's not everywhere. And those are attributes of God. Okay? God knows your thoughts. Satan does not. But Satan can look at you and see what you're thinking, in a way, just by your actions. But he can put thoughts in your head. Why is it while you're praying? You ever sit down and you try to pray and it's all holy and everything, and all of a sudden some crazy, wicked thing?
Yes.
Where do you think that came from? You know? Satan doesn't want you getting close to God. And so you got to grab that thing. The Bible says take every thought into captivity. Grab a hold of it. Examine it. If it's not of God, and you'll know. You just say, Satan, get out of here. And you got to say it out loud, by the way. Because Satan can't read your mind. If, you know, if you're just sitting there thinking in your head, Satan, get out of here. Satan's not in there. Listen, if you are possessed by God, if you have the Holy Spirit, Satan cannot be in there too. But he can plant a thought in your head and lead you astray. And so you grab that thought and you say, that is of Satan. And Satan, get out of here. You have no power here. You have no authority here. In the name of Jesus, just get out of here. And then get back into your word and get back into your prayer or whatever. And when he brings up guilt, you know, he brings up your past to give you guilt, you tell him, get out of here. Yes, I did do all those things. Yes, I do deserve hell, Satan. Yeah, absolutely, Satan, you're right. But you know what? I'm forgiven and I don't dwell there anymore. Get out of here. I serve a God that has defeated you. And I'm just going forward. So get out of here. Don't let Satan rob you of your relationship with God. Because that's what guilt does. It just gets your eyes on yourself instead of God. Don't let him rob you. He forgave us all our trespasses and made us alive. For in light of the fact that he died to sin once for all. But in light of the fact that he lives to God. So you too, all of us, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. And there's that phrase, in Christ Jesus. You know, before we were dead to God and alive to sin. You know, we couldn't get to God. Couldn't have a relationship with him. But when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, bam, you are now dead to sin and you're alive to God. That's where it's at. That's where the satisfaction is. That's where the fulfillment is. That's where the action is, folks. When you start living for God, that you get a life of action. Things going on. Getting involved in other people's lives and just doing what God would ask you to do. That's the abundant life, folks. Our culture emphasizes self-sufficiency and independence. Constant praise and sense of entitlement. It tells us we are basically good and can do anything if we just put our minds to it. You cannot do anything just because you put your mind to it. Now, we can do some things if we put our mind to it, but not anything. But that's what the world teaches. You can do anything, be anything you want to be. And it's even gone from that kind of a statement to the ridiculousness of it. That, oh, you can even be a woman if you're a guy, or a guy if you're a woman if you put your mind to it. That's what's going on. I mean, how ridiculous is that? It's crazy. But you see how far Satan will take it? As far as we let him. And all this constant praise. Oh, you know. No, sometimes you need to be admonished. Sometimes you got to go to the woodshed. So, some of you young people don't even know what that is. But yeah. I've been in a lot of homes over the years. Over 34 years, I worked for Sears, literally thousands and thousands. And I've seen people that give their kids time out. That was like the worst behaved kids in the history of the world. You know, timeouts don't work. I mean, sometimes you have a compliant child that, you know, you might get their attention, but I mean, I saw tons of them that, okay, you get time out, and the kid was just still throwing a fit, and I'm just sitting there like, wow, I got to finish this job and get out of here. Couldn't take it, man. I couldn't take it. You know, a participation trophy. Thanks for showing up. Yeah. Get a trophy for showing up. You know, it is good to suffer defeat because that's where you learn. And that's what makes you a better person, to lose. And winning's great. And what I have found is pretty much everyone's a good winner, but not everyone's a good loser. But you can't just do anything if you just put your... You know, I could put my mind to it from here till doomsday. I will never slam dunk a 10-foot rim. Not going to happen. No matter how much I try. I don't have the... I'm not bent in a way that I would ever... you know, be like a doctor or anything like that. I'm just not... God didn't create me that way. We need to keep our eyes on God. He created us with a reason. We saw that earlier, with purpose. And you are bent in that direction already. Yeah, I guess I could say I could put my mind to it all I want. I doubt I will ever sing in tune. It's just the truth. Pardon me? Oh, everyone else is off. Yes, yes, yeah. I'm the only one. The Bible gives us a correct and realistic understanding of who we are. The truth is, we are deeply flawed and sinful people, and no matter how hard we try, we cannot be good enough to earn salvation. The cross is the climax of God's plan of redemption. That was the penultimate moment. In the cross, God reveals the depth of His love for all mankind. In the cross, all people are given the possibility of a new direction. And amen on that. I know where the path I was on, and it wasn't good. In the cross, God brings restoration, hope, and a new life for all who place their faith in Jesus. In the cross, we are equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit to live and serve as Christ would. In the cross, we have the ability to please our Heavenly Father. What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. And before Jesus, we could not do that. But with Jesus, because of Jesus, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you can actually keep the commandments and show that you love God. So let it be so in our lives. Heavenly Father, let it be so in our lives that we would realize who we are in Jesus Christ and live it out however you deem fit in each one of us. Because we're all created, as the Bible says, we are wonderfully and fearfully made. God had something special for each individual in this room. Something for you. Something specific, how He wanted to use you. And we just got to look to Him to guide, lead, guide, and direct our lives. Submit ourselves to Him. Yes, sometimes it means stepping out on ground that you're not been on before and you're a little shaky about it. But where we are weak, that's where he is strong. He wants to use you. Do not devalue yourselves. Do not say that I've got this and that and God can't use me. That is a lie of Satan. He forgives it. He creates a new spirit within you. And he empowers you to carry out his will. Let his will be so in our lives. There may be some here today that you don't have that power. You cannot choose to do right. You are still trapped. But I'm here to tell you today, all you have to do is confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised him from the dead for your sin. And ask God to save you, and he will. He'll forgive you and save you and put you on that rock and start changing your life. But there could be somebody here, you haven't had that experience. You haven't made that step. And I pray that you would. I pray that you would come forward and say, you know what? Lord has convicted me. He has shown me that I need him. And I want to respond to that. And then you can just ask him to save you, and he will. I hope you'll make that step today if you are one of those. For the rest of us, how's your guilt? Have you dealt with it? Because if you keep pushing it behind you, it's just always going to rear up. Deal with it. Move on. Don't let Satan use that against you. You're forgiven all your trespasses. Accept that forgiveness and go forward. There may be some here today that you're still bearing guilt that God never intended you to carry. And you can unload that right now. There may be some here that you're equipped and empowered, but you're not doing it. There's something you should be doing, and you know it. I mean, God has kind of revealed that to you, that you need to step forward in some way, and yet you haven't done it. And it's just there. It's within you. And you keep making excuses. And just surrender. I hope you'll surrender to that. Or there may be some here that you're making you make selfish choices. And you know it. And you know you should be making some godly choices, but you just haven't stepped out. You know, you just haven't trusted. Listen, you can trust him. What I find to be incredible sometimes is that we will trust God with our eternal soul, our eternity. We'll trust him with that, but we won't trust him in the here and now with our money or our relationships or whatever. You know, but hey, my eternity, yeah, he's got that. I trust him with that. But I can't trust him with a simple decision in my life to do something that he's urging me to do. And yeah, it's scary. But man, it's good when you just take the step out and God kicks in and enables it. It is great. And that's what builds your faith. Then when you do that and he shows himself faithful to you, then the next thing comes, you can step out and do that. So I guess what I'm saying is there may be some here today just because of a little bit lack of faith. You're just not stepping out where you know God has already called you to step out into some arena in some way, whatever it might be. Might be at home, might be here, I don't know. Might be at work, at school, whatever. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here today say, Brother Mike, I have never I'm still a slave to sin, and I need the freedom that Jesus Christ offers, and I recognize that today, and I need to do that, and I realize that, and I'd like you to pray for me. Anybody like that? You just want me to pray for you? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. How many would say, Brother Mike, I know there's some things out there God has kind of put in my heart, and I know it's from Him, and I know I need to grow in that way, and I've been holding back. Anybody like that? Just been holding back. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. How many would say, even though I know the Lord is my Savior, I still tend to make some selfish choices, and I need prayer about that. I make selfish choices, and I need to grow. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. Amen. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you. I pray for those that don't know you as Christ. And I pray, Lord, they would make a decision and make it soon. Lord God, I pray you would just put a godly pressure on them, Lord, where they just got to take care of it, Lord. That they would just come forward and make things right with you so that you can use them in a great and mighty way. For those that are dealing with guilt or selfishness or fear, Lord God, I pray that you would replace those things with your peaceful spirit and that you would encourage them, Lord, and help them to realize that whatever you've called them to do, you will empower them to do, Lord. And I pray that they would recognize that. And Lord, I pray that they would grow in their faith, Lord, that they would be able to step out and trust you in some areas that they've been holding back on. And Lord, we'll give you the glory for that. Heavenly Father, I pray you would work in our hearts. Help us to realize who we are in you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. Lord has spoken. Respond. God have his way with you, or is it your way? Lord, let it be your way, Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you recognizing that we were broken and not living for you, and Lord, we were doing things our way and we were not fulfilled. In fact, we were dead to you. But Father, we come before you grateful and thankful and joyful, Lord, because of you we are righteous and we are fulfilled and we can glorify you and we're complete and we're alive, Lord. And we thank you for that you never stop working on us and in us and through us, Lord. Oh, Father, help us to be more like Jesus and help us to recognize who we are in him, Lord, that we would be faithful servants of yours, that you could work through us and accomplish great and mighty things that we can't even conceive of, Lord, that you want to do in our lives. Help us, Lord, indeed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.